Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week on the Screen Verdict podcast, we're going to be reviewing the film Her.
Yes, we saw Her.
Now, I had very high expectations for this film. I was very excited about it because, Matt, you told me this was the Anvil spin-off movie from Arrested Development.
Yeah. I was worried that there wasn't a question mark after it, but I was
wrong.
That's
how they say it. Her?
Yeah, Her. But I was wrong. She's not in it at all. There's no one for Arrested Development in this movie.
Drastically reducing expectations in the form of a Joaquin Phoenix and Spike Jonze film.
Yes. Can I just be honest up front on this podcast?
We're all about honesty. Yeah.
I could care less what we rate this film or review this film.
Wow.
What I'm really interested in talking to you about is, do we think a relationship between a computer, an operating system, and a human is a good idea? Like, that's what I'm really...
You think this is a legitimate possibility in the future? This is a pressing issue, because Screen Verdict tackles all the hot issues. We need to be giving our opinion on this to the people to help them in their decision on whether or not to date an operating system.
Because I know we don't talk about it much, but I actually think more people come to our podcast for relationship advice than movie reviews. I've just got to read on our listeners that that's why they're wanting to listen to us. So I think if, like, through the course of this review, we sort of weigh up the pros and cons of going out with an operating system, and what you might be looking for if you do want to go out of an operating system, that could be good. But anyway, sorry, I've jumped the gun a bit on the premise. You were saying Spike Jonze directed the film. What? Actually, do you know what? I'm going to get some paper, some non-line paper, to write pros and cons with an operating system. I should have had this set up. Just entertain them.
I can juggle. I mean, you guys can't see it, but you can listen to whether you think I'm successfully juggling. Oh, there you go.
It was a disaster. Okay, so I've got some non-line paper. I've got a 2B pencil. Feel a bit rebellious because in primary school they'd only let us use the HB pencils.
That was the standard.
Yeah, so that gives you a bit of an idea what the premise of the film is. So who directed this film? Spike Jonze.
Spike Jonze wrote and directed it. Mm-hmm. He has previously directed Being John Malkovich and Adaptation, both written by Charlie Kaufman.
See, their films, I think, are writers' films, not directors' films, because Charlie Kaufman's such a big voice. But there actually are quite heavily directed films as well, because the concepts are so out there.
Yeah, if someone asked me, do I like Spike Jonze, I'd be like, yeah, I like Spike Jonze, but I don't really go around saying that I like Spike Jonze. No. I do go around saying that I like Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah.
And more recently, he wrote and directed Where the Wild Things Are.
By more recently, we mean like 5 years ago or something.
Yeah, like 2009.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
I did. Fan of the book. Takes about 10 minutes to read, so it's interesting watching a 90-minute movie of it. Did they screw it up like Cat in the Hat, or did they strike movie magic like The Grinch? Or did they get a bit of...
Somewhere in Britain, that's my prediction of your verdict.
Lots of a Lorax level, is that what you think? The Dr. Seuss scale of movies. I thought the film looked beautiful. Cinematography, great. I guess direction plays a role there. But it was very depressing. It was, like, so sad. This kid gets to the Isle of all these monsters, and they have, like, a great time for 5 minutes, and then the whole rest of the movie is just everyone's sad and fighting with each other, and, you know, just very, yeah, very...
You know what Spike Jonze's childhood was like then?
Yeah. It was... Just all these... very angsty. Everyone in the film is, like, the angstiest people you'd ever meet. Like, all us on an island not talking to each other. So, I actually didn't really like it. but it was better than The Cat in the Hat.
Now, we also mentioned Joaquin Phoenix stars. He's just kind of the poster. You can't learn anything about the film from. It's just like a pink background and his face and a good mustache on top of it.
Yeah. We talked a bit about Joaquin Phoenix with our The Master podcast last year. Mm. And we talked a bit about how he had that meltdown, which sort of turned into a documentary. I called shenanigans on that whole thing being planned from the get-go. But it is weird he can have such a sort of weird sort of departure from sort of acting. And now he's back and he's like, last year The Master, he got an Oscar nomination for it. This year Her, a film that's done very well that he's completely front and centre in. Yeah. Like, his acting career is just as good as any other actor around today, really.
Yeah, you would have thought that could have been a falling off the wagon moment, but no, he's back. He's strong. And I think that's mainly just due to his acting abilities. I think he's phenomenal. I loved him in The Master.
I think it's also due to him picking good films. Because this is the thing.
PTA, Spike Jonze. Yeah. They're good choices.
Yeah. I think he's picked good films. Yeah, the thing, even more so than just having a whatever it was, you sort of lose the momentum. You know, Hollywood's so fickle at times. Like, if you're away...
You do have to ride the wave, but they also like a comeback. It's very hard to...
Yeah, it's... Well, he's back. He didn't get an Oscar nomination for this, but he's back.
It's basically him. He's almost the only actor in the film. I'd say his face is on screen 90% of the time.
You are watching a 2-hour close-up of Joaquin Phoenix's face.
If you like Joaquin Phoenix's face with a mustache,
yeah,
this is a film for you.
Yes. So I've sort of talked a bit about the premise, but do you want to explain what you would think the premise is for this film?
Sure. It seems like it's in the near future where everyone's walking around with these little earbud things.
Mm.
And in the earbud, I guess you're talking to your phone / computer / whatever it is basically running your life. You can just speak out loud and the thing will... You go, oh, I want the news, I want this, oh, skip, oh, I want my messages. And I guess you're like your little Palm Pilot phony thing. You can look at your pictures on that as well. It's all connected.
Spoiler alert for life, Google Glasses have not taken off. Google Glasses are not the thing.
I would have thought they could have made them a little bit smaller.
Hmm. Yeah.
You could see people walking around with them. Like, if things are so smart in the future, I'm sure you could have get that.
Do they look cool? Is it about the look? Is that, like, it doesn't really look cool to me, but maybe...
Well, I think they have a pretty good sense of fashion in whatever time period this is.
Yeah,
this I was liking all the bright colours.
Yeah.
Usually, I mean, you'd have some sort of bland chinos, but then, like, a pink or orange sweater on top.
Hmm. Yes, and it's... The shirts get tucked in. Shirts are tucked in, pants are pulled up. Hi.
But it's not just because he's dorky. That's just what everyone's doing.
No, yeah, everyone's doing it. And not tight shirts.
No.
So when you tuck in the shirt, it's a bit... It's loose.
You're ahead of your time, Matt.
I don't tuck in my shirts very often. Well, at a funeral or a wedding or something, I tuck in my shirt.
And Joaquin Phoenix, he has a pretty interesting job. He's well, the character's name's Theo. He works at a place where he writes letters for people.
Yes.
So people who are, you know, away on a business trip or whatever want to write a letter to their wife or loved ones or whoever, just pay, I guess, this company to type out a really romantic or sweet or heartfelt letter. And I guess the computer transcribes into their handwriting so it actually looks like it's from them, and then it gets mailed to whoever they want it to.
Now, I had a question about this.
Mm.
Is this something that's like, sort of, okay, you're away in America, I want to write you a letter, I call him, little do you know, I've called the company. Or is it just something that everyone uses, so sort of, you know it's going through someone, but that's just now such a cultural thing that you don't mind that a middleman wrote your letter, you're just like, oh, that's really sweet. Matt, like, you know, paid that company to send me this really sweet, touching
letter. Yeah, I think that's what it's like. The people become so detached to the point where the fact that he thought to pay someone to write a really sweet letter is actually really sweet of Matt himself.
Yeah, and it's really sweet because this professional can write a better letter than Matt.
Yeah.
And therefore, they've done a more sweet thing because I would have got a worse letter if he had written it himself. So anyway, would you use this? I like the personal. Well, I guess the point of the movie is it's a bit weird. Like, it's,
depends on how good you are at writing letters. Yeah. I feel like I could write a good letter if I put my mind to it.
Yeah, I think
depends who it was.
You're a writer. you've written things.
So Thea goes to this job, and I guess he's good at it, but, you know, it doesn't seem that satisfying. Other people seem to be liking the letters. Maybe Theo seems, you know, he seems like he's got a heart. This is sort of...
I think he's very good. Because Chris Pratt loves... I'm not sure if he's the receptionist or his boss, but...
he seemed to work at the front desk.
Yeah.
But at the same time, was always talking to him about work. It's like...
Yeah.
Who knows how they structure these companies years from now. But I guess writing these letters don't make Theo that happy because he seems a bit lonely. He seems to be looking for someone.
Mm. He seems like a nice guy with a good heart who can write these good letters, but he went through a bit of a messy divorce, it sounds like, or separation. He went through a bit of a messy separation, and it seems like he's cut himself off a lot from people.
Mm.
He's not doing much, not going out. He's in a bit of a slump. Poor Theo.
Yeah, he is detaching himself from the detached way that people interact with each other.
Yes, exactly.
And one day as he's walking about, he sees an advertisement for a new operating system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was Mac or PC.
We didn't have the two guys there explaining it.
Explaining who's who. But it claims that this is the first ever artificially intelligent operating system.
Mm.
So he gets it, goes home and installs it, and he gets asked some questions. And basically, this voice pops up, and it's the operating system that controls, I guess, his computer and his little palm thing and can talk in his earbud and stuff.
Mm.
But it seems like a person, because it can just respond to everything that you talk, say, ask.
Yeah. So, it gives itself the name Samantha.
Yeah.
And it is voiced by Scarlett Johansson.
Mm.
And they sort of hit it off. They get on well.
Yeah, she seems to have a good sense of humour. She's very useful. Very intelligent, seeing as she can, you know, search through millions of gigabytes of data in 2 seconds.
And I think because she's not a person... And because she's, like, his operating system, right? That he feels more comfortable to share stuff with her than he does humans.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's got access to all his hard drive and stuff. And she can read his emails, probably find his porn.
She did ask permission to do that.
Yeah.
So, can I check your hard drive?
How... I feel like that was for show.
Yeah, do you reckon...
she has that information already.
If he'd said no, how long before she checks it all?
I think she just instantly has that knowledge already.
Okay. Yeah, it's almost like, I think, especially when you're starting off with this OS, that it's almost like you're talking to yourself almost in some ways. I know you're not, but it's sort of like... I don't think you'd feel the filter of, oh my gosh, I can't say something embarrassing around this. It's my computer.
It's like being able to bounce ideas off yourself or have conversations with yourself, but it's better because you don't actually know what the response is going to be.
Yeah, they're going to bring new information to you as well.
Yeah.
Like they've got, you've got an independent thinker. Should that be a pro with going out of an operating system? You can be more open. First pro down there.
So they do some fun things together. They play video games. She takes a look at the letters, does some good proofreading. Mm. She's a good proofreader, Samantha.
Yeah, here's a question. How much does this operating system cost? It just seems such good value. Whatever she's doing, she's checking all this work for him. She just can do so much for him. And she doesn't mind. It's her job. She's his operating system. Like, you're my friend, right?
Sure.
But you would think it would be me taking advantage of our friendship if I, like, was calling out going, look, I've got all these articles I've written for Gold Derby. Can you just proofread all of them for me? And you go to the shops today. Can you just pick me up? Give me a lift to the shops. Hey.
I don't think an OS can pick you up and take you to the shops.
But I'm just asking you to do all these things for me just all the time. So, oh, John, can you come around and just clean out my inbox? And just, like, sort through all my emails. Read them all, see which ones are the good ones.
Yeah.
But with her, you don't have to feel any guilt about that. That's her, she's your operating system. That's what she's meant to do.
Well, she's definitely more useful than a friend.
Yeah.
I guess you have the benefits of a friend, of you can talk about friend stuff, joke around, have a good time, but they also provide, like, a service.
Put that in praise column, useful.
I don't think that they were that expensive. I think it's a case of, you know, in 1920, what would someone pay for a Concorde jet?
Yeah.
You know, billion, they'd probably, you know, sell Africa or something. Back then, it would be so valuable. To us, this seems like an amazing thing now. But as technology progresses, this is probably quite close to standard.
Okay.
It seems like in the film, in this world, that lots of people have it.
Yeah.
So it's probably just, you know, the new operating system that's, you know, a bit pricey, but most people can afford.
Mm.
So basically, as the film goes on, people trying to set him up, go on, like, dates.
Mm.
The operating system helps with that. But he has such a great time with the operating system, starts to have feelings for it.
Yeah.
Or her.
Yeah. Her, probably.
And then from there, it's basically a look at how this pans out.
Yeah.
Relationships, real relationships versus OS relationships. Or is that a real relationship?
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's,
like, a friend character. She's kind of good.
I had a question about Amy. Really, yeah.
We're only talking about her because she's Amy Adams.
Probably. But I had actually a question about this. Her name in the movie is Amy.
Yep.
Is she playing Amy Adams in the not-too-distant future?
Seems like her acting career's gone downhill. All those Oscar nominations haven't really carried her through to a Meryl Streep type.
Well, I know status. I think Amy has kids. So there didn't seem any kids. I don't know what's happened to them. Maybe the husband's run off with her kids and she's met this new guy and moved in with him. Yeah, maybe she's left acting. That's what I think.
Yeah, leave your lucrative career in acting to be able to afford to pay for the kids that you don't have anymore.
Yeah, yes. Okay, so maybe not Amy Adams, but I don't think they ever completely ruled it out in the film. So do we just go to the pros and cons now? We've got two pros. Feel more comfortable and useful. Can you think of any other pro? One pro is that this operating system actually has feelings, and it has free will almost, doesn't it? Like, it's not just something that's programmed a certain way to give you certain responses. It evolves itself, and it can feel things.
I mean, I guess that's part of the question, whether it can feel things or whether it's programmed to feel things.
Ooh.
It seems so complex that you're inclined to believe it is real. It's its own entity.
I felt like it had feelings.
I did too.
So, feelings. It has feelings. Which may not seem like a great pro for, like, a girl, but I think for an operating system, you'd be on the assumption that it doesn't. So I think the fact that it does is, like,
are these pros and cons versing humans? Or is it just saying whether it can work at all? Is this just a pro or con against itself? Because humans have feelings. That's not a pro. Yeah. That's got to be a neutral at best if you're comparing it to humans.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought that far ahead. I think the question we want to answer is it okay, or would we advise someone to go out with an operating system? And if so, what are the requirements? And I think one of the requirements would have to be it has to have real feelings. I don't think you can go out with something without feelings. I think it's also intelligent, which again is a human thing, but I think this
is much more intelligent than humans.
Yes, which I think means you don't have the moral, at least from the human standpoint, you know, the moral issue.
You mean you're not taking advantage of the OS?
You're not taking advantage of the OS. It's not like an animal. It's not like a toaster. It's like, I think it's intelligent. You can have an intelligent discussion with it. That's a...
The OS is able to give consent. That's what you're saying.
Consent / not weird. Like, toaster's not a real living thing. Does it really matter if you start going out of a toaster who's hurt? Well, you shouldn't. It's not intelligent.
So I guess you're saying it's able to love. Because you might be able to love a toaster, but a toaster can't love you back.
Yes. Yeah.
I think the OS can love back.
I think so. So it's got feelings, it can give consent, and it's got the capacity to love. In some way, now obviously whether you go out with someone or not should be on your personality, their personality, how much you love each other, you know, all those sorts of things. But I think those are probably the three necessary things for an OS system to have before you could go out with it, right? Has to have feelings, has to be able to give consent, and has to have the capacity for love.
Yeah.
What are the cons? What are the things that could be deal breakers for this OS? There's a big one coming to my mind.
It doesn't have a body?
Yeah, that was exactly what I was thinking. No body. Now, I don't like to think of myself as a superficial person. That is, you got to look a certain way, you got to be hot, you got to be for me to go out with you, okay? I'm a sensitive guy, it's personality, it's all that, what everyone says. But... But do you need something to look at? Does it need something to touch and look at?
Hmm.
Or is a body just some superficial sort of thing? Or is it actually a necessity for a relationship?
I think not having the ability to touch each other, like embrace and all that sort of stuff, is a hurdle.
Hmm.
An aspect of that, which might not jump out at you, is it might make it hard to relate to each other.
Mm.
You're missing that physical connection, but then there's also that mental aspect of it. Well, you don't perceive things the same way that I do.
Yeah.
And you don't know what it's like to not be able to touch something you want to touch. And you don't know what it's like to feel pain when you stub your toe.
Mm. But is that the same with just men and women? Like, I don't know what it's like to have a period. They don't know what it's like to go to a urinal. Like, there's experiences that, and even as individuals, like, there'll be things that I've experienced in my life that you won't have experienced in your life. And you won't have as good an understanding for as me. I'm not asking you out here. But... It doesn't matter that they've got different sort of perspectives and different sort of things.
I think the tone of your voice implies that you don't even believe what you're saying. You're like, oh, hippie nonsense. Yeah, I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate because I know what I'm saying is... Okay. It's clearly not the same. It's a much larger gap. Okay. Clearly, we both have an ability to relate to a human existence. And also what makes particular couples work is their ability to relate to each other on the things that are important to them.
I do seriously think that is a con, not human. I do think that she's not a human is a huge con. And an operating system is never going to be a human. Like, that's it.
if they were able to transplant that into a body somehow.
Yes. Yeah, well, that would... I don't think that would eliminate the not human thing, because it's still the exact same programming and software, right? But it would eliminate the con of no body.
Yeah.
That would get... This reminds me of the classic, one of the greatest comedies of all time, The Man with Two Brains, starring Steve Martin, where he falls in love with a brain in a jar, and they can communicate through thought, because he's a really famous brain surgeon. So they communicate through thought, and they fall in love. And his whole thing is trying to transplant that brain into a body. So he's, like, going around trying to find a body he can murder so he can put the brain in it. I think they're really the only two cons, though. And that's a lot less cons than I would have expected for a computer.
You could have this how it's viewed socially.
Social stigma. All right.
It seems to come up in the film. You know, people are doing it, but there still might be that...
I don't think social stigma would be... should be an issue, though, should it?
No, not unless you're doing something wrong.
Wrong, yeah.
Like, oh, I love this person because we both like murdering badgers.
Yeah. Sometimes society's right. People love to point out when society's wrong about interracial marriage or homosexual marriage or whatever it's been in history that society's been wrong on. Sometimes society is right with their stigmas. And that doesn't get a big enough rap. Okay. So, no body and not human. I feel like I'd rather go out with this operating system in the movie than some human girls I know. Does that make it okay? Well, just because I want to do it doesn't make it okay.
If it's not inherently wrong to do, in terms of like a moral point of view, then you've just got to ask, well, can it work?
Yes.
So do we think it's wrong? Is it morally wrong to date an operating system?
It's a... Like, I think it's a valid point, whether it's morally... Like, I don't think... You know, obviously we don't want to be a podcast, make some big political statement. But I do think there are maybe some moral concerns with going out with a non-human.
My initial reaction...
I know I'll get letters for saying that.
Is that... I can't see how you'd be hurting anyone.
No. But it's the same with the toaster. Like, I don't think it's right for someone to be dating a toaster. But no one gets hurt. Well, you could get hurt. If you're really in love with that toaster, you could be getting hurt.
Leave it unplugged.
Yeah, apply, please. Do you have Siri on your mobile phone?
No.
Oh, okay. Do you have an iPhone or something?
I don't know.
Doesn't Siri just come with an iPhone?
I've never used it. I don't know where it is.
Ask her.
Siri, are you on my phone?
Oh, you
should turn the volume on. She might have been screaming at me all this time. Yeah. I just always have my phone on silent. Siri, now that you are not on silent, can you talk? I don't think I have Siri on my phone.
Okay, let's take a quick time out for a screw, marry, kill. Okay, this could maybe help us collect our thoughts on this issue. We haven't done a screw, marry, kill in a while. If you don't know what this is, you should. It's pretty common. It's not just a podcast that does stuff like this. So, in the movie, there's quite a few girls. And let's throw Samantha, the operating system, into the mix.
See how the OS fares among some real people.
Yes. And by real people, we mean fictional characters from a movie. Maybe exactly. One not fictional.
Could be
Amy Adams. There you go. So we've got Amy, Samantha, Olivia Wilde's character. He goes on a date with her.
Yep.
There's also the ex-wife, which I'm happy to put in the mix, because that's what we said we'd do before the podcast. What are your thoughts?
I think this is the first screw, marry, kill that we've done on the podcast while I've been in a relationship. So I just want to establish that at any point that I say that I want to screw or marry someone, it's clearly for the game, because I don't want to be that person that's like, oh no, I can't play the game anymore now that I have a girlfriend.
Yeah, that's the Bass move. Well, Bass would never play this game. Yeah, he would.
But I do need to cover my bases and say that this is for the game.
Yeah. And I bet Bonnie, she's a pretty cool girl. I think she would play this game. I think she would.
Oh, I bet not catch her playing this game.
I'm definitely going to ask her to play this game on the next podcast.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Oh, something else I'll ask her about.
Which one of the weirdos in Girls does she want to scare and marry kill?
I would say, though, that I did... something else I liked about Bonnie when she was on the podcast, and this is something the listeners wouldn't have picked up on, she nodded at a lot of the things I was saying. It's like, she's a cool girl. Agreeing with me is high on my
criteria for approval. Okay, so...
if someone's bold enough to disagree with me, I respect that.
Win-win.
Yeah.
That's not too discriminatory. Okay, so out of the people we have, I think Amy Adams seems nice. She seems like a good friend.
You couldn't kill her.
Nah,
There's nothing negative about her.
She didn't seem that fun, though. She seemed a bit like a Debbie Downer.
Hmm.
Same with Catherine, the ex-wife. She seemed like a major Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
Olivia Wilde seemed like she'd be out for a good time in the present.
Yeah.
But that she seemed a little unstable.
Yeah, it was weird. She said, like, to him, look, before we sleep together, I just want to know if you want to commit to this or make a bit of a, not long-term, but a bit of a commitment, because I'm not really at a point where I want to just be having one-night stands. And he actually thinks about it and goes, actually, it probably would be unfair to you. How about we just call it a night? And then she calls him a creep. This was like the complete opposite of what a creep would do. I just didn't get that at all. That counted hugely against her in my mind. Just guy being a gentleman, being a nice guy, doing the right thing, gets called a creep.
Yeah. I feel like you would feel that played out unfairly, but probably dodged a bullet in the long run.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
And then you got Samantha, the OS, which I guess we've talked about some of the pros. I guess a bit hard to screw here in the conventional sense.
Well, it happens in the film.
Yeah, there is some hot man on OS action.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill Catherine. I'm going to kill Olivia Wilde. I'm going to screw Samantha and marry Amy.
Okay. Interesting.
I always kill more people than Matt. Yeah. Whenever we have more than three people up in the screw, marry, I always end up killing everyone.
Yeah. Okay. I think I've got to marry Amy, and I know people are this is going to add fuel to the fire. She's just a nice girl, like, who there's nothing wrong with and looks nice and is sweet. Like, I just don't know why she wouldn't be the marry in this scenario.
Her documentary did seem a bit crap.
Yeah, it did. Catherine... I guess their relationship ended, but it seems like it wasn't completely her fault. It seems like he became a bit distant and things, and I don't want to blame Theo completely either, but I feel like she didn't really do anything bad enough that I would kill her.
And you would just sleep with her indifferently.
She wasn't bad looking, so I'll sleep with her. And I think Olivia Wilde, that creep thing really, really irked me, so I will kill her. Samantha's an interesting one, because I don't think I'd marry an operating system. And I think the sex thing without having a body seems a bit redundant. But then I feel bad killing her. Let's put her in the marriage.
Marriage?
Well, sex is the more physical sort of, like, option here. And I think, like, that's where the body's the biggest detriment. I liked her, so I wouldn't want to kill her. I think the marriage...
You get a sexless marriage?
I guess. Like, I guess. One also married to Amy Adams in this scenario, so I... I don't know. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know really what to do with Samantha here.
We were kind of split on that one.
Yeah.
Has this helped us decide on our verdict on whether or not to date an operating system?
Probably having the four people didn't help me, because I just did it with the other three and then just put Samantha wherever I wanted her. I think not having a body is going to be hard to get past, and I think not being human is the real kicker, like the real reason.
If I have to give a black or white answer on dating an operating system, my verdict is no.
Yeah, I would agree. I've got to say no, but this film brought me very close to thinking under the right circumstances it could be okay.
If you can't get any human to date you, an OS probably isn't the worst second choice.
Yeah. Well above the toaster. Well above the toaster. Yeah, but if you're even thinking about it and it doesn't have its own feelings, it can't give consent and it doesn't have the capacity to love, just forget, like, just rule it out right there. Okay? Siri is not even remotely an option at the moment, okay?
Now that we've given our verdict on OS relationships, let's give the film a verdict.
Mm-hmm.
At the start of the film, I was really enjoying it. I thought they did a great job of setting up the world. Really interesting setting. Lots of little small things that put you in the place, and the very little clever observations and humorous little musings on what the place would be like.
Mm.
I thought once you get the OS, it's a very interesting and complex relationship that Theo and Samantha developed together. I think in the back end of the film, it's a little bit... too much of the same thing, or it's going to work, or it's not going to work. And I think the side characters probably weren't used enough.
Mm.
And the ending I found kind of unsatisfying, but at the same time really powerful. Mm. I was kind of thinking, I'm not... this isn't really... And then there's just this scene that just, bam, just like punches you in the heart. And the film leaves you very conflicted, which I think is a good thing, that it's able to stimulate that many thoughts and ponderings within you.
Mm.
I think this film had the potential to be one of my favourites of the year, but just a couple of frustrating things brought it down a notch, but still something I really, really enjoyed. I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Mm. I think this was an interesting premise. I thought, I really sort of was fascinated watching it. It got me thinking about things, and I thought it was executed pretty well too. I liked the tone, I liked the style, I liked the world they created. Joaquin Phoenix, Joaquin, what do you say?
I think it's Joaquin.
Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson, I thought, were great in this film. I thought Amy Adams was pretty good too, but those two are so front and center in the film. Phoenix, obviously, his face you see pretty much the whole movie close up. Her voice you hear pretty much the whole movie. Like, I'm over-exaggerating, but like it's their show, and they do so. If they weren't good, the film would be a disaster.
Mm.
Like, so much is on them. But it is a bit long, because it is a lot of the same shots and the same voice and the same, you know, it's probably, it gets a little bit tiring after 90 minutes of looking at one guy's face, hearing one girl talk. And that's maybe limitations to the premise. And, you know, we say this all the time, you know, it was a 90-minute movie they made into a 2-hour movie. Not that uncommon.
At least it was 2 hours and not 2.5 hours.
Yes, that would have really hurt its score. And yeah, I think I sort of agree with you that it sort of had maybe a little more potential than it delivered on. Like, it just, there was something that held me back from loving it. Maybe it was the length, maybe it was just some of the ways the plot developed or not using some of those side characters more and things. So I really enjoyed this one. I really liked it. The ending is really powerful. So I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
I just forgot to mention the performance as well. I think Joaquin Phoenix was robbed of an Oscar nom, and Scarlett Johansson did a great job as being the voice of an operating system.
I think she wouldn't have been out of place in the supporting actress category.
Yeah.
I think lead actor's a bit more competitive, so I'm a bit more upset for Tom Hanks missing out on a nomination there. Okay.
So I think that's the podcast for this week.
That is the podcast, yes.
I think coming up, perhaps Homeland. I know I'll be behind, but I'm finally on it. Homeland, we'll be bringing that review soon. Mm-hmm. There's just been so many other things to podcast on.
Yeah.
Maybe Wolf of Wall Street? People have been talking about
that.
No,
I think we should podcast on that.
That's actually only just come out in Australia, I think, this week. So
we'll go and watch it straight after the podcast, after we've recorded this one, and we'll probably be done watching that in a week's time. So.
All right, so look forward to that, guys. We'll see you next week.
See you, bye.